HR Info. Das Interview.
Mit Eberhard Nembach. Streng gesichert und bewacht arbeiten in Frankfurt-Preungesheim über 900 Menschen im US-Konsulat. Es ist das größte seiner Art weltweit. Ihr Chef ist Generalkonsul Jim Herman. Kein leichter Job als US-Diplomat in Deutschland, wo viele Menschen den amtierenden US-Präsidenten Donald Trump sehr kritisch sehen. Wie geht Jim Herman damit um? Wie bleibt er diplomatisch, wenn Deutsche über die USA schimpfen? Der Texaner Jim Herman geht jetzt zurück nach Washington. Er hat sich hier in Hessen mit seiner offenen und ehrlichen Art viele Freunde gemacht. Er ist aber auch Diskussionen nicht aus dem Weg gegangen. Das braucht viel diplomatisches Gespür. Wo hat er das her? War er schon als Kind diplomatisch?
What I would like to know is, were you a diplomatic child?
I was not. I'm an Army brat. My dad was in the Army. He was a nurse in the Army. I was born in Fort Hood, Texas. We moved all over the place. I spent most of my childhood in Hawaii and in Texas. So I'm an Army brat, not a diplomat.
All right. And when you were a teenager, you spent time in Texas. Is that a place where you get diplomatic?
You know, I think honestly, if you were to talk to my staff, they would tell you I've never been diplomatic. Nobody has ever accused me of being a diplomat. Anybody who knows me, I should say.
But still, you're a diplomat by profession now.
And, yes.
Well, frankly, there's times where you need to keep a straight face and shake a hand, even if you think, well, this person is obnoxious, don't you?
You know, I honestly don't think about it that way. I love meeting people. I have met some incredibly wonderful people. I have met some incredibly obnoxious people, but they're people. And, you know, I find I do this job much better if I'm not making judgments, than I'm actually just being curious about who I'm meeting.
So you're a generous person?
Let me say optimistic person.
All right, okay.
Jim Herman war als Kind überhaupt nicht diplomatisch. Er war ein Armeebengel, wie er sagt. Der Vater war Sanitäter in der US Army. Die Familie zog herum, zum Beispiel nach Texas. Wie hat ihn diese Zeit geprägt?
Let's go back to Texas again. Okay. What view of the United States and the world did you take from your teenage years in Texas?
So I would say, first, if you ask me really about my worldview, it comes from Hawaii. I lived in Hawaii from when I was like 2 to 8. You know, they talk about those being the formative years of a kid. So Hawaii is the only state in the United States where whites are not the majority. And so you learn that color doesn't matter. You learn about getting along with each other because it's a very mixed island. And, you know, I learned to love the ocean. I learned the aloha spirit we talk about, which is, and it's something I encounter here in Germany all the time. It's a spirit of welcoming. It's a spirit of respect, treating people with dignity. And believe it or not, even in Germany, the key thing about aloha spirit is Lebensfreude, right? The joy of living. And I see that here in Germany all the time.
I can't believe that. You just said we have aloha spirit?
Yes, you do. I tell this to everybody. And my wife and I, honestly, we've been here 3 years. We have not had a bad experience. Even when people disagree with us, they treat us so well. Doesn't hurt to have a beer with people or a white wine. And I really, my wife loves to say that we came here hoping to share our aloha spirit, and we've been so pleasantly surprised that we receive more aloha spirit than we give.
Die Deutschen haben den echten Aloha Spirit der Hawaiianer, sagt Jim Herman, dessen Zeit als US-Generalkonsul in Frankfurt jetzt nach rund 3 Jahren endet. Er selbst hat seine prägenden Kinderjahre in Hawaii erlebt. Das sei der einzige US-Bundesstaat, in dem Weiße nicht die Mehrheit stellen. Eine Kultur, die von gegenseitigem Respekt und Lebensfreude geprägt ist, erzählt Jim Herman. Seine Frau, die aus Japan stammt, und er selbst lieben den Aloha-Spirit, den sie ausgerechnet in Deutschland wiedergefunden haben. Nun darf Jim Herman die HR-Interviewbox öffnen. Und auch da begegnet ihm das Thema Hawaii.
Let's okay. just open our famous, infamous box. Now
I can hardly
is the
wait.
Time.
Okay, good.
Please take it.
Okay.
And cherish it. Open
okay.
it.
Okay.
Love it.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, what's that?
This is perfect. This looks like our election night event.
Yes. What do you see? Can you describe us? We're in radio.
I see an incredibly handsome guy with his arms raised up like a touchdown. Okay, wait, that's me.
No. Right, yes. What are you wearing?
So I'm wearing my Hawaiian shirt, my cowboy hat, a big American flag in the background. Yeah, it's...
Is that like you want to be seen? I mean, you were wearing a Hawaiian shirt and a Stetson hat, a cowboy hat. Is that what you'd like to be seen?
Yeah, one of my main goals and one of the many that I failed to do in my 3 years here was to get Frankfurters to stop wearing ties. I think wearing ties explains all of the bad policy decisions in the world because it chokes off the flow of blood to the brain. And I told that once to a German. This is one of the few times a German has not had a sense of humor, and told it to a banker once. And he said, "Oh, no, no, Jim, you just buy a shirt with a bigger collar."
Well, that's way too. But anyway, you raise your hands. That was early in the evening,
yes,
early hours of the morning. Right. I saw you with a sterner face. Why?
Good question. I don't recall the sterner face. I think we were all a little bit surprised at the results. I think everybody was expecting a Hillary Clinton victory. So if there was a sterner face, that might have explained it because of the surprise.
Jim Herman findet in der HR-Interviewbox ein Foto von der Wahlparty, die HR-Info und das US-Konsulat gemeinsam veranstaltet haben am 7. November 2016. Der US-Konsul trägt auf dem Bild einen Cowboy-Hut und sein geliebtes Hawaii-Hemd. Er hasst Krawatten, sagt er. Die habe er den Frankfurtern aber leider nicht abgewöhnen können. Das war sein Ziel. Dass er damals gegen Ende der Wahlnacht nicht mehr so fröhlich ausgesehen habe wie auf dem Foto, das könne vielleicht damit zusammenhängen, dass die Wahlergebnisse aus den USA so überraschend waren. In der HR-Interviewbox findet sich auch noch eine kleine Überraschung. Eine Donald Trump Plastikfigur.
Oh, what else is in the box? It is a Donald Trump campaign 2016 vote. Donald Trump, it's... Wow, look at that.
You got something like that?
Do I have something like this?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Do you have pictures of the presidents, like in the residence or in the consulate?
You know, we generally hang them in the consulate in a prominent place, so there is one in our entrance. It took a while to get an original photo, but now we have them and they're properly hung.
Would you be allowed to own something like this?
Of course, yeah.
And show it openly?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Is there many people asking you about Donald Trump in Germany these days?
You know, it's an amazing thing that not very many people ask me specifically about the president. We talk a little bit about the policies. I mean, I personally don't know the president. So they do have questions about his policies. They have questions about his tweets. They have generic questions about what's going on in the United States. And I think that's, at least for the people who interact with me, that's much more prevalent. You know, what's happening in the United States and what about this relationship with Germany are certainly the majority of the questions I get.
You said you like to be open, but obviously your job is to implement the policies of the U.S. government that
exactly.
is now headed by Donald Trump. How exactly. easy is that?
So my job mainly is about managing a consulate which supports 180 different posts. In terms of that, nothing has changed. In terms of my conversations and explaining U.S. policy, of course, it is harder to explain. It's why we're getting out of the Paris environmental or climate accords. It's hard to explain what is the president's concerns about the Iran agreement. So all of that stuff is different. But, you know, we get clear talking points and we get a clear understanding of where the president is coming from before we explain this. We get policies, guidance.
Yeah, guidance, directions. Where from? I mean, it's obviously not the president calling you up and telling you what to say.
Yeah, and so it's a great point, is that we really do rely on guidance from the State Department. So if the president tweets something, that's not guidance for us, right? That's the president letting the world know his view.
But you read his tweets, don't you?
I do not. No, I don't. I'm not on
No,
Twitter.
You're not on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter. You know, our policy flows through the Department of State. They're the ones that give us guidance on where we're going, especially in relations to Germany or others.
HR Info, das Interview mit Jim Herman, dem US-Generalkonsul in Frankfurt, dessen knapp dreijährige Amtszeit jetzt endet. So eine lustige Trump-Figur habe er nicht, sagt er. Aber er könnte sie haben und auch zeigen, wenn er wollte, sagt der Diplomat. Das offizielle Porträt des US-Präsidenten hängt in der Eingangshalle des Konsulats in Frankfurt-Preungesheim. Dass die meisten Deutschen Donald Trump kritisch sehen, das weiß Jim Herman natürlich. Er muss dann die politischen Entscheidungen erklären, zum Beispiel den Ausstieg aus dem Pariser Klimaabkommen oder die Ablehnung des Iran-Abkommens. Die Tweets von Donald Trump lese er aber nicht, sagt der Generalkonsul. Er bekomme seine Richtlinien aus dem Außenministerium. Gerade ist der neue von Trump ernannte US-Botschafter in Berlin angekommen. Was wird Generalkonsul Jim Herman ihm über die Deutschen erzählen?
Speaking about the new ambassador just having arrived, you obviously meet him, he's your new boss. And if you ask, what are these Germans like, what will you say?
I get the question a little bit differently. You know, the question that I hear is, what was your biggest surprise with the Germans when you get here? And my answer is always, Germans have a sense of humor. They love to laugh.
In other words, that's what you didn't expect.
That's right, exactly. It was a surprise because I like to laugh, as you probably noticed. And all of my friends said, oh, those Germans, they're not going to laugh. You better just calm down. But either the Germans are laughing at me or with me. Either way, it's okay. So that's the first thing I would say is...
Let's come back to your everyday work. You mentioned it. There's over 900 people here in the consulate. It's the biggest U.S. consulate in the world. Why?
So the easy answer is we support 180 different diplomatic posts around the world. So if, for example, a computer system breaks down in Bangui, Africa, we don't have an IT specialist there capable of fixing it. We have an IT specialist here. We'd put on a plane and go there. We also have a bunch of consular officers here who go to the posts that have not a very large consular staff, and they will, every 6 months, they sit down and go through the operations to make sure they're doing well. When the Russians kicked us out of St. Petersburg, we sent 20 people there to help box everything up, to make sure all of the systems were taken out and got rid of. So the number one thing we do, and the reason we're so large, is because of Frankfurt Airport. And we can jump on a plane and be any place we need to be in, you know, a few hours, not a few, sometimes longer, but in one flight. If you think of us as a logistical hub, and we're just very grateful every day that the German government allows us and the people allow us to stay.
Das US-Konsulat in Frankfurt ist das größte der Welt. Ganz einfach, weil der Frankfurter Flughafen so wichtig ist, erklärt Jim Herman, der für mehr als 900 Angestellte in Frankfurt-Preungesheim verantwortlich ist. Sie versorgen 180 diplomatische US-Missionen weltweit. Sie reparieren zum Beispiel Computer von US-Diplomaten in Afrika oder fliegen nach St. Petersburg, wo der russische Präsident amerikanische Diplomaten rauswerfen lässt. Aber nochmal zurück zu Donald Trump. Wie geht der Diplomat Jim Herman damit um, dass so viele Deutsche den US-Präsidenten kritisch sehen? Was sagt er zum Beispiel bei einer Einladung zum Abendessen?
Coming back to your everyday work, part of your work obviously is hosting dinners or breakfasts, as I happen to know.
Right.
Like a year and a couple of months ago, when Donald Trump was still new in the office, and you had like a dozen or so Germans sitting there, and you were hosting this dinner, and you knew from their faces they were all thinking about Donald Trump. Most of them dislike. What were your opening remarks?
Right. So it's a tradition in our house that we ask a question, an opening question. We ask people to introduce themselves because not everybody knows each other. And answer a question. And for the first probably 6 months after the president was elected, the question we asked is, what is the best thing about the Trump presidency?
What is it?
The general consensus was that it has made people more politically aware and politically active. There are others that were given, but by far that was the number one consensus answer, both for and against the president's policy.
And you being an optimist support that view?
It's more than being an optimist. It's my personal experience that even here in Germany, last fall, I had a group of students in my house talking about how passionately they were involved in politics now and had never thought about doing that in the past. I think you also saw that in the Parkland shooting in the United States. This is the school shooting that... just 2 weeks after the shooting, you had 800,000 people show up in the mall in the United States, in the Washington, D.C., supporting gun control law. That's unbelievable to me that, you know, if you think about some of the other school shootings, how it just kind of petered out. But for an incident like that to generate so much interest so quickly and be led by high school students is the power of involvement. And, you know, people should be involved in politics. Sometimes, especially in our advanced democracies, we take things for granted. One of my greatest disappointments here in Germany was the fact that only 37% of the voters turned out for the Frankfurt mayoral elections. That's too bad. Mm-hmm. You know, democracy is about participating. It's about voting. It's about letting our politicians hear the will of the people.
Mm-hmm. speaking about guns, that's one of the things most Americans and most Germans disagree on. Mm-hmm. After Donald Trump was elected, many Germans felt that there is a rift between America and Germany. You speak a lot about German-American partnership. It's part of your job to do this. We could go on for a long time now about what is actually disagreed on. But what brings us together? What is there? Is there a core of a partnership that will actually survive anyway?
Yeah, so for me, the core is our democratic ideals. And the strength of our partnership is that we don't see things identically. In fact, we disagree about a lot of things. And that's, to me, is the best kind of partnership, where two partners can openly disagree and have an honest conversation with each other. And, you know, I've met a lot of Germans and we've had lots of hard conversations, but it's been my pleasure to talk to people who treat each other with respect and are willing to listen to each other. So the number for me, the most important thing that we have in common is, of course, our democratic ideals, and expressed differently. And clearly there's some debate about what that looks like in both countries. I think that's great. I think the world needs two wonderful models of what a democracy looks like. And the world should have a debate about that. It's a much easier conversation to have than debating China or Russia. Here's two vibrant, strong democracies, each with slightly different takes on all of these important values. And we should be able to pick and choose which one works for our cultures.
HR Info, das Interview mit Jim Herman, dessen Amtszeit als US-Generalkonsul in Frankfurt gerade endet. Sicher hat er viele kritische Diskussionen mit Deutschen, gerade nach dem Amtsantritt von Donald Trump. Immerhin habe dessen Präsidentschaft aber zu einer deutlichen Politisierung geführt, die man sehe, wenn zum Beispiel Hunderttausende für schärfere Waffengesetze in den USA auf die Straße gehen, sagt Jim Herman. Die schwache Wahlbeteiligung bei der Oberbürgermeisterwahl in Frankfurt habe ihn dagegen enttäuscht. Für den US-Generalkonsul zählen die demokratischen Werte, die Deutsche und Amerikaner verbinden. Dass beide sie anders interpretieren und darüber auch streiten, findet er gut. So sollte eine gute Partnerschaft sein, sagt er, offener, ehrlicher Streit bei gemeinsamen Idealen. Mit China oder Russland sei das zum Beispiel anders. Ist da Leidenschaft dabei, wenn er so redet, frage ich Jim Herman.
You seem passionate to me. Is there a passion, a mission in being a diplomat for the United States, even in shifting times?
What a wonderful question. So last spring, I was thinking of retiring, that I was a little tired, a little bit worn down. And my wife vetoed that idea. She hated the idea of me being at home more. So she said, thanks for playing, but you're staying. And I am so glad I stayed. This has been such a fulfilling year. And I would have left last summer. So I've got to, you know, the fact that there is so much angst and concern is wonderful for me, because it just refreshes and makes me even more passionate about this partnership. That reminds me of how deep and broad this partnership is, and how, you know, the governments, the people at the top can disagree, but the people-to-people ties are wonderful. I was telling the story this morning that one of my main goals the past years is to go and encourage more exchange. That, when, you know, when you're frustrated with the United States or with Germany, it's not about distancing yourself. It's about getting out and being closer and pulling yourself closer. And I see that happening. People coming up to me, how do we do more exchange programs? How do we interact better with the American people? That's what the best thing about this relationship is.
Mm-hmm. I understand you're going back to D.C. now.
Exactly.
That's a big diplomatic machine, as the brain, you could say, and there has a lot been shift in the brain as well. Mm-hmm. What will you bring them from here? What's your message? If you happen to meet the president and he says, oh, wow, you were in Germany, what's it like there? What are people like there? What will you say?
So I would say the German people are wonderful people, and I'm hoping that we can bridge and make our ties stronger. But I would like to find ways to help the Germans stand up and lead more. That it is time. I know Germans are very sensitive about all of this, but as I talked about earlier, there's this incredibly different, powerful model for democracy than the United States has. Your social welfare system is different. Your political system, the way you monitor freedom of expression is different. Your freedom of religion is different. they're the same ideals, but they're expressed differently. And I love that about Germany, that, you know, we bring people here a lot from the United States. And my message to them is, you know, we're not here to tell Germany how to do things. We're here to share best practices and to learn from the Germans, because we can. We, the time has long passed where Germany is learning from us. And it's really, the message to the president is, how do you help the Germans step up and be willing to, I know the word leadership is a horrible curse word in German, but to stand up and say, this model works and others should take a closer look at us and we should be proud of this.
Wenn er jetzt nach Washington zurückkehrt, könnte Jim Herman ja auch Präsident Trump begegnen. Dem würde er erzählen, was die Deutschen für wunderbare Menschen sind, sagt er, und dass Amerikaner viel von ihnen lernen können. Zum Beispiel über das deutsche Sozialsystem oder das deutsche Demokratiemodell. Deutschland solle Führung übernehmen und stolz sein auf das eigene Modell, auch wenn den Deutschen das schwerfalle, meint der US-Konsul. Er sei froh, dass seine Frau ihn letztes Jahr davon abgehalten habe, aufzuhören. Da habe er sich müde und erschöpft gefühlt. Aber die letzten 12 Monate seien dann so spannend gewesen. Jetzt erst recht. Im Augenblick sei mehr Austausch zwischen Deutschland und den USA nötig, nicht weniger. Zum Schluss noch ein paar schnelle persönliche Fragen. Wie hat Jim Herman seinen Sohn überzeugt, ausgerechnet denselben Beruf zu wählen wie er selbst?
Some quick personal questions, just
perfect.
Quick answers.
Okay, great.
How on earth did you convince your son to get the same job as you have?
I am so disappointed about that because we paid good money to send him to school and now he's a diplomat. It's terrible. This is just a boy not listening to his dad again.
Der Sohn hat also nicht auf den Vater gehört und ist trotzdem Diplomat geworden. Und Jim Hermans Frau, isst die Rippchen mit Kraut?
Does your wife eat Rippchen mit Kraut?
I don't know what that is, so I don't think so.
Rippchen mit Kraut?
Yeah, I know what
that is. That's the pork stuff with sauerkraut we happen to eat in
you
Frankfurt?
You know, I have not had that. How is that possible?
Have you had green sauce?
Yes, of course. Grüne Sauce, Handkäse mit Musik, yes.
Okay, but not Rippchen mit Kraut.
I have not. I'm going to have that before I leave.
Okay, enjoy that.
But the short answer is she would. She loves pork. So.
Right, okay.
Rippchen mit Kraut müssen die Hermans also noch probieren, bevor sie nach Washington gehen. Und wie läuft's mit dem Rennradfahren?
When was the last time you rode your bike?
Sunday. We did 35 kilometers up to Steinbach twice.
That's cool. How many security officers with you? So
there's one in the car and two setting a good pace for me. They worked me very hard. I'm the old guy cursing the young guys in front of me.
Okay. You're going to Washington, D.C. Where would you rather go next?
If I could choose one place in the world to go next, it would probably be Vietnam. I'd love to go to Vietnam.
Why?
You know, my dad was there in 1968 in the Vietnam War, and it would just be a wonderful way to reconnect to my dad, to go back and really to see how our friendship and our partnership with Vietnam is growing. Just as a way of to recomplete that historical tour, it would be wonderful to be in Vietnam.
Die Sicherheitsleute als Tempomacher für den Konsul auf dem Rad. Und am liebsten würde Jim Herman als Diplomat nach Vietnam gehen, weil sein Vater dort 1968 als Soldat gekämpft hat und Vietnam inzwischen ein Partner der USA ist. Und wo wird Jim Herman als Rentner leben?
You haven't retired yet. Where will you live when you retire?
So that's an easy answer, Hawaii. Hawaii is a special place. You know, the aloha spirit, the thing that I will love to do if and when we retire to Hawaii is to teach. I love teaching. My wife loves to do the hula dance, to join a halau, and just to be part of the community. It's one of the things I miss as a diplomat is we move every 2 or 3 years. So to be able to settle and to really grow into a community would be a wonderful gift for us.
Will you come to Germany on holiday?
Yes, for holiday and probably for a bit of work. I'm still hoping to come back and find some good jobs to come back here to Germany for.
Meet you then. Thank you very much.
Great, thanks. Wonderful conversation. And aloha.
HR Info, das Interview mit Jim Herman, dem US-Generalkonsul. Das amerikanische Konsulat in Frankfurt ist das größte seiner Art weltweit. Jim Herman verlässt jetzt nach 2 aufregenden Jahren Deutschland und geht in die US-Hauptstadt Washington zurück. Diese Sendung finden Sie wie immer auch im Internet unter hrinforadio.de und in der ARD-Audiothek-App. Mein Name ist Eberhard Nembach.